Do some quick Foley work. Oh, yeah. Season 2 brought to you by Diet Coke.
Let me just write something in my notebook.
Let me just fall over. Bonk.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Great kid! Don't get cocky!
A stone only counts as one!
Okay. You people sit tight, hold the fort, and keep the home fires burning. If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Groovy. Welcome back to Good For an Action Movie, your favorite podcast you haven't heard in over a year. I am one of your hosts here, Will Thornton.
And I'm Max Steele.
And yes, we are back on the airwaves, ladies and gentlemen. Our pirate radio station was taken down for a year by the FCC, but here we are back again.
And super excited to be back. We're going to have a lot of content for you, so we're super excited to be delivering that to you right now. And let's get right into it, Will.
Absolutely. On today's episode, we will be talking about the newest installment in the Star Wars saga, Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is a little hard to say. A lot of S's in there. This film just came out a few weeks ago. It is directed by Ron Howard. At least it eventually was.
Ooh.
It stars Alden Ehrenreich, Donald Glover, Woody Harrelson, Emilia Clarke, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and
are you just naming everyone that you
Is in the movie? Crispin Glover, Donald's father.
Wait, is Crispin Glover?
No, he is not. Paul Bettany. Yeah. Anyways.
We don't have to get too much into the logistics. So what interested at least me about this movie is that it really didn't have too much of a big release, I would say. I honestly didn't even know when it was coming out. I knew a lot more about Deadpool 2 coming out than a Star Wars movie, which I think is a little bit backwards. So I was very interested in seeing it. And I'm very interested to see what Will has to say about this movie. Do you want to go over, like, overall impressions?
Sure, we can start with that. That was actually one of my sort of first notes was it kind of did have a low-key release. We reviewed Rogue One a few episodes ago and also a few years ago. probably had mentioned I'm a big lifelong Star Wars fan, but for the past couple Star Wars movies, I've been trying to, like, go in blind, just not watch any trailers or anything, just for fun. And this movie completely snuck up on me. I didn't even know it was being released in May. I thought it was going to have a December release like all the other Star Wars movies have had since The Force Awakens. So, it hasn't done – I mean, it's done well at the box office compared to, like, all movies, but it's the weakest release of any live-action Star Wars movie. That's right. Looking at you, the Clone Wars. But in short, I mean, if we start with just our overall impressions, I did like the movie a lot. I thought it was a fun romp. And I thought the performances were good. And I enjoyed the story. For all the trouble it had in production, I thought the story hung together amazingly well and was very well paced. And as opposed to something like Rogue One, where, as we talked about, I have a lot issues with that story. I feel like it really doesn't piece together very well. And that was, I had much less production trouble, at least publicly, than Solo did. So, I liked it. I thought it was really fun. And good actions. That's what we talk about here.
We always talk about that. For my overall impressions, I liked the movie as well. I think I would have liked it a lot more if it was just just the plot and the characters, omitting a lot of the just overt Easter eggs that are included into it, that are just not even like the fan service of, like, Rogue One, which we talked about in our episode, just a few episodes, but a couple years ago. But just, like, I don't know, they're not really spoiler heavy, but, like, when he's going through line, it's like, your last name will be Solo because you're alone, and how everything just kind of falls together. Like, that's how he meets Chewie in the same time that every single thing happens. I don't know. It's mostly having to do with, I think, a lot of trying to do a lot of what the original trilogy did, was just try to explain every single thing. So, like, why does he have a weird last name like Solo? Which I wouldn't even thought about that, honestly. It's Star Wars. It's a science fiction movie with, where people have last names like that. But I think overall, like, I really like the performances in this movie. Paul Bettany's really good. I really liked Woody Harrelson. I thought all the main characters were really good. Donald Glover was amazing. He was my favorite part of the movie. I think the best, like, Easter egg-y part of the movie was the was how Han got the ship from Lando, because that's mentioned in Empire Strikes Back, correct? Mm-hmm. I know that you're more of an expert about that.
Yes, won it in a game of Sabacc.
Yep. So that I actually enjoyed because it wasn't kind of overt. And, oh, the Kessel Run. That was one of the big things. I didn't think that had to, like, be a main point of the movie as well, which is just, like, a very small line of the dialogue in A New Hope, the original Star Wars, and then becomes the main plot point of Solo, which is also kind of like what Rogue One did in that way. But, yeah, that's a little bit of my overall impressions. Woo-woo-woo.
Yeah, I guess we can maybe the movie's relatively recently, so I guess we won't do a full plot analysis as we would with some of the older movies we've reviewed. Maybe at the end if we want to do a spoiler section.
We can definitely do that.
But perhaps we could talk a little bit about some of the performances, starting with our leading man, Alden Ehrenreich, playing the titular Solo character. You may be familiar with this character. And in short, I thought he did a wonderful job. I had only, I think, ever seen him in the Coen Brothers movie, Hail Caesar, and I liked him a lot in that. And I knew he was going to be Solo, and I thought, yeah, I could see that. We'll see how he does. And I thought he did a great job of balancing a, like, sort of trying to evoke the vocal quality of Harrison Ford and how he sort of worded some of his lines and phrases dialogue, but also putting his own spin on the character, because no one wants to see just a blatant Harrison Ford impersonation. You want to see someone sort of embody the character. And I thought he did a great job at that. And Max?
So one of the things my friend said to me, if you're listening, Matt, thank you for checking it out.
Thanks, Matt. Hit that subscribe button.
But one thing that he said that I had kind of filtering my opinion as I was watching the movie is that he said that about halfway through the movie, he feels that Ehrenreich basically decided not to be doing a Harrison Ford impression, but to be Han Solo. And I didn't see that too much, but there definitely were points where I was like, I think you're trying just a little bit too hard. But then there's also just amazing points, like there is somewhat of a standoff later where Solo tells like a blatant lie about a bunch of like secret hired guns, and it's like a total Han Solo move, and I believe that very much. So there are very, very, very cool moments with him in that role. But other times, I was it's also very hard, Will, especially for me. I don't know. You're a much bigger Star Wars fan for me to see anyone else in that role other than someone who looks exactly like Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Look, yeah, because ultimately, like, he's not that much younger than Harrison Ford was in A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harrison Ford was, I don't know the age. I'm just going to get it wrong.
What is the timeline of this movie?
It's very iffy because my understanding of it, and, you know, if you're super cautious about spoilers, you might as well just turn this whole episode off because we're not going to be super careful, but we won't give away, like, huge things.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, this is probably, like, 10 years before, and, you know, Han is supposed to be maybe 20 in this movie, and he's maybe supposed to be 30 in A New Hope. That's, like, my sort of, like, headcanon. But, I mean, by the end of the movie, spoiler, like, they are talking about the gangster out on Tatooine, and you're thinking about, oh, well, that's Jabba the Hutt. So is Han supposed to basically, like, roll directly into A New Hope? Is this supposed to be, like, a few years before? It's kind of iffy. The Jabba references were some of the ones I liked the least because I thought it was sort of unnecessary. It was like, you don't actually need to show us how he gets the job with Jabba. We can just sort of imagine that. Like, according to the movie, Han Solo's smuggling career was like, he did this one job and then did another job. Like, he's supposed to be sort of an infamous smuggler, so it kind of takes away. Like, it's like, oh, are those the only two things he ever did? Like, this job for Dryden Voss and then rolling straight into his work with Jabba.
One thing I did like about this movie, and I think the big thing that people can nitpick about a movie like this, a prequel, and especially, like, that's why, you know, the Star Wars prequels are so heavily dissected is because they are filling in the gaps of characters we know and love. And one point that I did enjoy was, which I didn't expect, was Solo signing up for the Imperial Army in order to become a pilot, which I thought that was just really interesting because that's not something that's alluded to in the original trilogy. It's not like they're trying to fill a plot hole like the Kessel Run. Well, it's not a plot hole. He says parsecs when he means when it's distance, and it sounds like he means time, which I that's something that I don't think that you had to retcon. It's just like a it's just literally just something he said in a movie.
Although they already did that in The Force Awakens, like, because the Kessel Run line is always like a thing amongst like Star Wars nerds of like, oh, it's just like George Lucas didn't really know what he was talking about. It's just this fun little thing in the original Star Wars where you're like, oh, that doesn't really actually make sense. And then in The Force Awakens, when Rey meets Han, she goes, this is the ship that made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs. And he goes, 12. And I actually found that more cringy than anything in Solo dealing with the Kessel Run, because it was like, okay, yeah, we know it's a famous line. But yeah.
It could just be left as a famous line. But I enjoyed that they did something that's not just trying to fill in gaps, like actually adding to a personal history for a character, and I thought that was interesting to see. No, it doesn't really do anything with that because he didn't really learn how to fly with them. He was somehow just on the ground.
Well, I kind of like that because they don't exactly show it, but I think the implication is, and it makes sense, is that Han is never going to rise up in the ranks of like a bureaucratic organization where chain of command is like the utmost importance. Like, he signs up to become a pilot, and the next you see him, he is like the low, like literally like a mud trooper, just like the lowest of the low soldier, because he's never going to get promoted. He's going to constantly defy his superiors, as he does in the movie a few minutes later. Yeah, speaking of, like, adding things to the backstory that weren't just references, like, I like the role of Kira, played by Emilia Clarke, TV's Mother of Dragons.
Oh, okay, cool.
Not a Game of Thrones watcher.
Not a Game of Thrones watcher, fun fact.
Me Before You's female lead. And I thought that they handled her role very well because, well, all right, I'll save it for the spoiler slot. Yeah. Can we talk about Donald Glover, though?
Yes, we can. We'll just kind of go back. There's a lot of really cool, like, mini twists throughout the movie, which I think are handled very well.
Subversions of expectations as well.
And going back to, like, what I said about, like, I enjoy the plot very much. I enjoy the plot a lot. And probably if it was just that, but I was also busy kind of rolling my eyes every once in a while with things that I felt were shoehorned in.
Well, like, it's pretty, it's very impressive. I don't know if you know this, Max, but, so, you know, the Lego Movie guys originally were directing it, right? Mm-hmm. Chris Lord and...
didn't they reshoot like 70%
of
the movie?
Yeah, so they brought in Ron Howard, and like, even to the point where Paul Bettany's character was originally completely shot with Michael K. Williams, or perhaps best known as Omar in The Wire.
Oh,
and
wow.
He reshot all those scenes with Paul Bettany because my guess, I don't know this, but I'm assuming that re-recording didn't work with Michael K. Williams' schedule. So that was not just reshot. The role was completely recast. And I am a little bitter because I love Michael K. Williams and I would have loved to have seen him in that role. But you would never know. It doesn't feel like a movie with huge production issues. It does speak to like the competence of Ron Howard, and he knows how to shoot a movie and like tell a story clearly. So, I mean, they brought him in, and I think you have to give it up to him for piecing together a very strong narrative, especially even compared with things like Rogue One and honestly The Last Jedi as well, which I think don't hang together as well as this movie or The Force Awakens do.
Yeah, here's the thing about Ron Howard, and I think we might just have to rename this episode The Thing About Ron Howard. if you want someone to make a movie, you get Ron Howard. If you want anything better than that or worse than that, you get someone else. That's really how I feel about him.
Apollo 13 is very good, though.
Apollo 13 is very good, but I mean, like, right now.
Right. Oh, yeah, Ron absolutely.
Because, like, I don't know, my only note for this movie is a question that I have is Ron Howard a good director? And he's probably the most notable director that, like, most people, like, know in terms of name recognition that is not really, like, not. He's severely talented. He would not be working in Hollywood if he was not. But, like, doesn't make really good or like consistently a specific style, like a Tarantino,
right,
or a Wes Anderson. But like, I feel like he is the like the lesser of those directors that everyone knows by names, mm-hmm. and it's very interesting that people know him by names. But once again, he made Apollo 13. What are the other movies that he made that are good?
Jim Carrey's Grinch.
Right. So going back to that, yeah, if you want to make a movie.
Oh, he did. Well, A Beautiful Mind, I think, would be.
Is that a good movie?
Yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah.
Oh, he did Frost Nixon. I've heard that's good.
Produced.
Oh, never mind.
Willow, Cocoon. Cocoon's a good movie. Anyways.
But there's just like three or four pretty good movies, right. Borderline great movies that he made. And then everything after that is just kind of pretty like, I mean, severely average, I think.
He can definitely make a stinker, that's for sure.
And I think that, I mean, I think his footprint is on there as well a lot, especially with, like, the first, not the first line of the movie, but the first text that we see besides A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away is, like, a boy grows up on this planet. What's the planet's name?
It's Corellia. It's where they make the Star Destroyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he has only one dream, to fly among the stars. Mm-hmm. And then our movie starts.
Also, like, that opening crawl is so, well, it's not a crawl. It's just completely pointless. So you don't need it at all. Like,
he doesn't really want to fly among the stars.
They, like, explain the logistics of this kind of crime underworld of Corellia that we are in for approximately 7 minutes.
Yeah. And you get it immediately.
Yeah,
as
you completely understand
too.
It.
They
it's
explain
like,
it.
Yeah, people don't need the concept of a crime boss explained to them. Like, that's such a common thing in movies.
And even in the Star Wars universe, yeah. It's very common. It's in almost every
movie.
You
can name one crime boss in every episode, and they are different crime bosses.
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. You go first.
All right. I loved him in this movie. He was great. Parts of it were really good, like homages to Billy Dee Williams. Like, he adapted his voice to how, like, some of his speech patterns are and how he talks pretty smooth and, like, how he says Han, which I thought was pretty cool. That was an Easter egg that I kind of liked, how he calls him Han.
Right,
instead
yeah.
of how everybody calls him Han, which is a very interesting thing about the Star Wars series as a whole. I also had – oh, never mind if we're not doing spoilers right now. Mm-hmm. But I thought he just embodied not only like an homage to Billy Dee Williams but also had just like his cool owning of the character as well, even more so than I think Alan Wright had with Solo. I thought he felt a lot more comfortable with just being Lando Calrissian. And I thought the relationship he had with, L3? Is that?
L3, yeah.
L3, his pseudo-love interest / co-captain. I thought that was really interesting. I like L3 as a character a lot, too. But that's kind of how I feel about Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian.
Here's my thing about Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. I think he does a really good evocation of Billy Dee Williams, but in my opinion, and I know he's getting a lot of great thoughts, I thought that his impression hurt his acting ability, and I was not too happy with. I thought a lot of his stuff could have been, and a lot of when actors have bad line readings and stuff, it's not just on them, it is on direction and stuff like that. But there are some moments in that I think if you look outside of his, you know, voice and what he's doing, which is great, I was ultimately not too happy with him. And I love Donald Glover, and I was so looking forward to him in that role. So I don't want to be negative, but I wasn't a huge fan of him, actually.
No, you could be a negative that breeds the conflict that will continue through the rest of this podcast. So.
Now you're mad at me.
No, I'm not mad at you. I don't have any strongly held opinions. I am beating Will right now with my fist. But I enjoyed him. I think that's definitely fair. There are definitely points where I'm just like, Donald, you don't actually talk like that. I guess it does hurt. But overall, I really thought it was a cool evocation homage and then also owning. But yeah. I also see what you're saying.
Well, let's get to what we're actually here to talk about ostensibly, which is the action of the movie.
Wow. Let's talk about it. I like the action a lot, actually. Yeah.
No, I did. I thought the train scene was great.
That was a good old train robbery.
I mean, that's so fun.
Space train,
and it's got, you know, some fun little Star Wars twists. The train is not always upright, and it's mm-hmm. on magnets and stuff. I thought that was great. It was a super fun scene. All throughout the movie, I thought a lot of it was just very cool.
A lot of chases. There's a car chase.
Pretty much a car chase.
A chase at the beginning. That's right. Really cool. And a lot of them involve humor, and I wonder if that's like where the Lego Movie directors kind of had their footprint. Mm-hmm. I would really like to see where they had their footprint, like still left in that 30% that wasn't reshot. Because usually with movies that are reshot, my favorite parts of the movies are the times where I notice, like, oh, that's from the person who was working on this before.
Right.
Are you watching a movie where you know that, like, Tarantino or Sorkin did a rewrite of the script, and you're like, oh, that's their dialogue in there. But I really couldn't see that. But I feel like the comedy that's involved in the specific action sequences were kind of evident of that, at least.
Yeah.
What did you think about the action, Will?
No, I liked it. I thought it was great. Shot and everything. I even enjoyed the sort of final rough 'em up with the villain. Lots of plot embedded into the action, double crossing, stuff like that, which adds, you know, stakes to it and things like that. And ultimately, I think by the end of the movie, you actually care about the characters and also about the relationships between them, which is really important.
I definitely want to see the next Solo movie a lot. I don't know how, like, yeah. I felt pretty good about this movie, but I definitely want to see the next one, that they're not really caring about, like, getting Chewie on the scene, getting Lando introduced.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any plans. I don't think right now there are any plans. They've been pretty clear about saying, like, this is a one-off. That being said, like, I would totally love to see, just, like, a fun, like, episodic TV show with these characters. It kind of reminds me of, like, when X-Men First Class came out, and it was a lot of beloved characters, but it was them younger, and I was like, yeah, give me, like, these versions of these characters along with some new people. I would love that. And then it kind of gives me that feeling. Like, I would love to see Alden Ehrenreich continue to put, like, his spin on Han Solo.
Is he American? That's a question.
I believe he is.
Okay.
I think. I've actually never seen him, like, interviewed or anything, but he's American and... Hail Caesar.
And he's American in Solo.
That's
too,
right.
Because
that's
our
right,
favorite
baby.
Hero is always American.
Hey, Max, God is real and he's American. But cool. Should we move on to ratings and recs? We want to keep this around 30 minutes?
So we could do a little spoilery at the end.
Oh, sure.
A little spoilery.
After the, after the outro?
A little post-credit scene for you.
Okay. Why don't you start with your rating, and I'll do my rating, and then we'll do recs.
Believe it or not, I actually haven't really thought about the rating that much. I've been focusing on about a later episode. But I am going to give... Solo, A Star Wars Story, 2.5 out of 4 stars. I enjoy it, but I don't think it's that great. I had a lot of fun watching it, and I think that's the best thing I could say about it. I did not dislike the movie, even though I rolled my eyes a couple of times at some of the Easter egg-y stuff. But overall, it was a really positive experience. And then as an action movie, I'm probably actually going to give it about a 7.5. Let's call it a 7.5. Chewy in a mud pits.
Out of 10. Muddy Chewies.
I like Muddy Chewie a lot.
I like that scene. We didn't talk about that, but I thought that was pretty fun. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to give the movie 3 out of 4 stars. I enjoyed it. I love Star Wars movies. So maybe if without fun Star Wars things, I might not have enjoyed it as much. But I'm ultimately a big-time fanboy, so I'm going to love most Star Wars movies that I see.
And what is the next Star Wars movie?
Episode 9.
Oh, really? Is that next year?
It is December 2019, I think, is the plan. Probably, yeah, I mean, it's the
Star Wars Episode 9, The Next Jedi.
The Next Generation.
I
don't think they're going to call it.
The TSG.
Star Wars Episode 9, Deep Space 9. But, action-wise, yeah, I don't know, 7 out of 10, something like that. 7 out of 10 parsecs.
7 out of 12.
Yeah.
12.
Okay, I'll do my recommendation. This is a movie you can see now in theaters. It is called Hereditary. It is a horror movie. I saw it a few nights ago. It's very scary, but it's also just a very good movie. If you like horror movies that have like very interesting themes and messages. Maybe if you enjoyed recently something like The Babadook, then you would definitely enjoy Hereditary. It is there's some very creepy imagery in it. The whole like the imagery of the movie is like the way it is shot and some of the just visual things in it are fascinating, and it's got a great ending that I'm still thinking about. And yeah, it's really good. Hope you're ready for some scares.
Yeah, I might check it out. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about scary movies in terms of being very, very scared of them. But for my recommendation, this is actually something I think I have recommended before on the podcast, but I've watched a lot more of it.
It is Sphinx Cats.
Sphinx Cats. very cool. It is any of the other weird recommendations that I've had. But I've been watching a lot of the TV show The Americans. I think I recommended it when I was watching season one, but I recently just finished watching season two, and it is a really, really good show. If you are interested in any kind of any shows that have been kind of considered like really, really good shows about like secret identities over these last couple years. Maybe you're a big fan of Dexter, like people protecting their identities. I kind of identify a lot with Dexter in terms of this. There's also like some vibes of The Sopranos in terms of trying to make certain appearances in front of certain people and other people. But if you are interested in even in like spy thrillers, this is a really great show. If you're not familiar with it, it's about two Soviet sleeper agents who live in Washington, D.C. in the mid-80s. But there's so much more. There's a wonderful cast of characters in there, and it grows by the episode as well. It does a lot of twists and turns, and I think it's really just hitting its stride right now at the end of season two. And I cannot wait to watch season three, which is kind of acclaimed as the best season. But I've also heard that every season just keeps getting better, and is currently in its final season on FX.
I think it's over, isn't it?
I think it just ended, actually, because my dad watches it, and he's all the way caught up. And he's how I found out about it. So I'm going to recommend that.
Awesome. Well, thanks for tuning in, everyone. We have been gone for a while, but we're going to try to start recording a lot again.
We're back, baby.
Yep. And apologize to people from our last episode when we hinted at that we were going to watch The Matrix yet.
Really? There's also two episodes ago, we said that we're going to watch Deadpool.
Is that real?
Yep.
So we are on a 3-episode streak of telling you what we're going to review next and then not doing it. So see you next week when we talk about Deadpool 2.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
It's over.
Nothing is over.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's over. Go home.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Okay, quick spoiler section.
Darth Maul's alive.
Yes, although if you watch Star Wars Rebels, he was already revealed to be alive.
Right.
I do not watch Star Wars
Are
Rebels.
They the same are they supposed to be the same universe?
Yeah, yeah. Star Wars Rebels is canon, as is like the Clone Wars, I believe.
Is Lego Star Wars canon?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. is that a show?
No, it's a video game.
Well, yeah, yeah. I know some of the games are, I think, considered canon, but it depends when they came out.
I think Knights of the Old Republic is, like, the big one that's considered canon. And, like, what are they? Like, Jedi Outcast 1 and 2 are canon. Mm. And I still haven't played those. I really haven't played those. But KOTAR, Knights of the Old Republic, is very good. Mm. Spoilers!
Yeah. Well, yeah, the point I was going to make earlier that I kind of eased off of was I like the role that Kira, played by Emilia Clarke, served in the movie because, like, when the movie began, I sort of thought, like, I thought the obvious person who was going to die at the end of the movie was going to be her. And, like, I really hope that didn't happen because, you know, like, the trope of, like, the male character being anguished by, like, the death of his female love interest is such, like, a common thing you see in movies and TV. And I was like, oh, don't make Han Solo, like, a rebel because he, like, some woman had to die for him. And they totally don't do that. And she's just, like, her own character. And it's I thought she was very good. And, yeah, the Darth Maul appearance, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's just kind of thrown in there near the end. And you're just like, why is that in there? Because I mean, it just invites so many questions, such as, why didn't we hear about this at any other point? essentially, because like now that means that somewhere in the background of The Clone Wars, Revenge of the Sith, Rogue One, both The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, or maybe not. Well, actually, yes, if he's still alive, he would probably still be alive unless they make a movie set between this one and Rogue One and they make him dead.
Yeah,
somehow.
Let me pitch him. It's called Star Wars Darth Maul, still mauling. it stars, they recast Darth Maul, and he's played now by, who's that? Kevin Hart.
I'd watch it.
It is a Kevin Hart, Emilia Clarke flick. It's a Spike Lee joint. And
this is Giancarlo Esposito as Jar Jar Binks.
Still alive. And yeah. Cool. Oh, also, we didn't even talk about Woody Harrelson's character, and I thought he was good in this movie. I like Woody Harrelson. But I enjoyed I liked the scene a lot where Han shoots him. I thought that was a really necessary kind of dark place to take the character. And obviously it hints at the idea of Han shooting first and sort of it's a nod to fans who have long been all up in arms about the special editions.
I thought there was going to be a line about that.
Well, that's what I was saying. When that happened, I do this thing in Star Wars movies that I really hate that I do, but sometimes I care a lot about the universe and stuff, and sometimes when I think they're going to do something so annoying, I feel this feeling in my stomach of being oh no, here comes another horrible prequel-y moment, and it doesn't happen. They never address it, and if he had looked at the camera and said,
I shoot first.
Smash cut, credits, roll credits. What's that? A song from Led Zeppelin? That would have been, actually, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I did expect a line like that, because just other points of the movie, it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when he's telling her name, it's just Han. Han,
Solo. Yeah, that was dumb. Can I tell you one other thought I had during the movie, which is, okay, so after Han and Lando and they do the Kessel Run and they land on this planet, which I think is named earlier, but I don't know what planet it is, but it's a desert planet and they're by the ocean. And Han is there with Kira, who is his love interest, and I started thinking, oh no, what if this is the moment when Rey is conceived? And I had this thought, and then they totally don't do that, but I thought, what if they're implying that she is actually Han's daughter and her mother is this Emilia Clarke character, but they never actually address that. And then they totally don't do that. But I was another moment where I was because I'm a big believer in what ended up happening in Episode 8, which is that Rey is a nobody, and I think that's way more useful in the story. And I was please do not make her from some Star Wars dynasty. And I was oh, dear God, and it doesn't happen. But I had that thought for a second, because I thought they might have been on Jakku, but I don't think they even were on Jakku. But
in addition to that, I think another really cool thing about the movie is that it does, at points, try to get into different themes, such as, honestly, the dangers of capitalism.
Sure.
What is it, Red Dawn? Is that the...
Yeah.
Crimson Dawn. Red Dawn is the 80s movie.
Yeah, and the 2010s movie.
Red Dawn's... Oh, really? Oh, I forgot about that.
Starring Chris
Speaking Emperor. Of the Americans and Russian stuff and Soviet stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought that stuff was really cool, especially at the end. There's a lot of stuff... There's a lot of material about, displaced people and, mm-hmm. What big corporations do to people like that. But it's not, over the top. It's not, hitting you on the head with a baseball bat with, this is the theme. This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really start to see, how a character like Han Solo would have sympathy for some cause like that. But then also be his own person, which he turns into be again at the beginning of A New Hope. Or near the middle of A New Hope. Near the first third of A New Hope.
Yeah, sounds good.
I think you're familiar with more of the timing than I am. When does the cantina scene occur? Name me the minute and second.
It actually occurs 35 minutes into the movie. It's pretty long.
Really?
That's why I always say I always say this is not my thought, but believe a movie that feels like Star Wars will never be made again, because no movie will no one's pacing movies like they paced movies in the 70s.
Right.
Like the idea that Luke doesn't show up for almost 20 minutes and then they don't even leave Tatooine for 45 minutes and it's just them wandering around the desert meeting strange people, and there's long scenes of just the Jawas walking around. Mm-hmm. No one makes movies like that anymore, and for better or worse. I mean, new movies can be just as good, but I think that's so integral to the Star Wars feel is the fact that it was made in the 70s, you know.
I remember there's a lot of movies that I remember just watching as a kid but don't really remember too much of, and then when I was, I don't know, 12 to 14 when I started like rewatching movies from that I really liked as a kid, and like just remembering or seeing things that like I do not remember at all. One of the best examples I can give of that is that I did not even register that Indiana Jones was fighting the Nazis in that until I watched it as like a 12 or 14 year old.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I never realized is that Star Wars is essentially a C-3PO and R2-D2 movie mm-hmm. for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, you don't see like the only human characters you see for like until you see Luke are the rebel troops that get shot like immediately. It's just like the droids and then the stormtroopers who you don't know if they're robots and then mm-hmm. Darth Vader and you don't know what he is. And I guess you see Princess Leia probably before you see Luke.
Right.
But, yeah, we should probably wrap things up here. Yeah. You come for the spoilers, you get a little bit of talk about original Star Wars.
Absolutely. We like to keep some of Easter eggs of our own.